In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord is not denying Mary's blessedness. To do so would be to contradict Scripture, which says, "Blessed are you among all women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And also Mary in her Magnificat when she sings, "Henceforth all nations shall call me blessed." Indeed, she is blessed among all women. But the woman who spoke misunderstood what she was saying. She blessed Mary because she had brought forth such a wonderful child to this world and did such a good job of raising him up. That is not why Mary is blessed. She is blessed because she has been chosen by grace to be the mother of God. No other woman can claim that. No other woman carried God in their womb for 9 months. She gave birth to God. The angel Gabriel told Mary the impossible, and she believed it by grace. She pondered it. She treasured it in her heart. She chewed on it, kept it, and guarded it, and mulled it over again and again and again. And so, like Mary, you too are blessed because you hear the word of God and keep it, guard it, treasure it, ponder it in your heart again and again. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it, our Lord says. Where faith dwells, there Christ dwells, and he comes to you through his word. So what a marvelous gift this word of God truly is. Through it, the Holy Spirit overshadows you and implants Christ in your heart, even as he implanted Christ in Mary's womb. He drives out all evil and every form of sin. You are the dwelling place of God Most High. Not just your heart, but your body is the temple of God. A woman is pregnant, even if she doesn't feel like she is pregnant. It is not based on her feelings, but it is based on facts and realities. So too, you are the house of God, the very temple of God Most High, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even if you do not feel like it. It is not based on your feelings, but it is based on the promise and the word of God who has planted God inside of you. And your house, your body, can have only one occupant. Either God is your master or Satan. Either you are the house of God or demons dwell in you. This isn't based on your feelings or even what you think about a person. A woman is pregnant even if she doesn't look pregnant. So also a man without faith is the house and the abode of demons, even if he doesn't look like it. He can be the most moral, pro-life, helpful, kind, and upright citizen, the best of neighbors. Yet without faith, Christ cannot dwell in his heart. And every heart is claimed by someone. And what man is strong enough to drive out those demons on his own? Their armor is strong. They use it well. Their weapons are their lies. They try to create doubt in your heart. Doubt is the opposite of faith. Doubt destroys your faith. Did God really say? They thrust such a poisonous dart into your heart to try to get you to live by your feelings and what you think rather than by the word of God and faith. They trust in sin. They know full well that you are sinful creatures who stumble and fall every step of the way. So they love the law of God. The demons truly love the law of God because they know that you cannot keep it in the least. So obey the word of God, they say, and you will be blessed. And who is equal to such a task? We are sinners. We constantly stumble and fall. All of a sudden, our blessedness is contingent upon our obedience to the word of God. How could we ever escape? The devil's strength was in the law's threats. They trusted in the law. They trusted that God could not change, that he was holy and just and cannot welcome the disobedient into his kingdom. But then the stronger man came who baffled Satan's wisdom. The mercy of the Lord endures forever. He takes away our sin, the armor in which these devils trusted. He fulfills the law in our place. He takes sin into his very own body. It's physical and concrete, this salvation that he won, because we are physical and concrete creatures. He doesn't love our mind or our soul, but he loves the body, and he desires the body to be with him forever in heaven. And so he gave his body for you. He became the sin, the curse. The giver of the law placed himself under the law so that you might be redeemed by him. His weapons was humility and weakness. He fights by dying. Hell's fury was emptied on him. And when every accusation had been met, when justice had no more to ask, when the devil had been spent and his head crushed, then and only then, Jesus died. And there you see his greatest power. It is in his greatest weakness. Satan's armor is gone. The demon's trust is nullified. The plunder is Christ's, and you are the plunder. Satan can no longer accuse you. It is true that God is still just and holy. But the punishment has been paid. The law has been fulfilled. Therefore, God is also the one who justifies those who are in Christ Jesus, by grace, through faith. Your body can have only one occupant. There is no middle ground. Either you are with him or you are against him. Either you gather with him or you scatter. Either the man was possessed or he was not. Either a woman is pregnant or she is not. Either we are in the kingdom of God or we are in the kingdom of the devil. There's no middle ground. And we were born in that kingdom of Satan, subject to death. Like the rest of the world, our birth from our parents brought us forth in sin and iniquity. We were by nature objects of wrath. God's wrath was upon us. But that is what we were. What you are is a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Once you were the abode of demons, now you are the temple of God Most High. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. Once you were an unbeliever, now you believe, by grace, through faith. God Most High dwells in you through faith. But Jesus also gives a very clear warning, which you would do well to pay attention to. We can lose this faith. We can sin and grieve the Holy Spirit and so drive him out of our hearts. We are the saints of God, but we are not yet the saints triumphant. We are the saints militant, still struggling against the flesh, still fighting against the demons, still battling against this world. Those demons are watching and waiting to get back in, and they will use anything they can to claim you as their own. It's a fierce, fierce battle which we do not see with our eyes, and so many people just altogether ignore. If the serpent gets its head in, the body will follow. And sin builds bridges for these demonic armies. Willful, unrepentant sin constructs highways for them. So repent. Daily repent and go back to your baptism. You are not the stronger man. Christ alone is. The demons cannot have you so long as you belong to Christ. He drove out those demons, those unclean spirits, at your baptism, and he made room for the Holy Spirit. There, in baptism, he exorcised you so that you might be his own temple and dwelling place. He swept clean your heart, and he continues to sweep clean your heart as the sinful dust quickly multiplies. So repent when you wake up. Repent when you lie down, and everywhere in between. In other words, turn away from yourself constantly and turn toward Christ. Live in Christ. trust in Christ and in Christ alone, for he alone can save you. So let the word of God dwell in you richly, for it is through this word of God that Christ now comes to you. Through the external word of God, God takes up residence in your heart. Surround yourself with this word. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it, guard it, treasure it, ponder it in their heart, even as Mary did. The devil is driven back by the word of God and by prayer. A pregnant mother eats healthy, even as soon as she finds out she's pregnant. She follows guidelines to protect herself and her child. We strap our young children into car seats, even if we go for a short drive. A father locks his house at nighttime. The chances are slim to none that someone's going to break in, but he protects his family against that one slim chance even. If we are willing to go through such great lengths to protect our family's physical bodies, how much greater should we go? How much more watchful? How much more prepared should we be every second, every hour, for that demonic army who is actively seeking your kids' demise? Gather them around the word of God, even as you gather around the word of God. Pray with them. Sing hymns with them. Talk about Christ when you sit down and when you drive to school, when you rest, and when you eat your dinner. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, for then Christ comes to you to beat back those demons for you. For wherever the word is spoken, there is Christ with his salvation. You know full well this isn't a replacement for the divine service. And just because you pray in your homes means that you are now fine. We still need to receive the gifts of God. Our daily devotions flow from this divine service and then back into it. Here, for a brief hour, you are immersed in the word of God, and no demons or evil spirits can dwell here. Here is your safe haven, for here is your God with his power, the maker of heaven and earth with all of his might, protecting you and guiding you. It is so easy to put this off, this service, to another day. Or to when the kids are finally old enough and can understand, or when they're more well behaved. It is very easy to meander around the house slowly, getting ready, to hit the snooze and roll over, or to take our time. But our God is coming here to meet us. Our King, our General, is coming to fortify our hearts against this army. Our God is coming to be our salvation. And so there is no other place that we would rather be, not even for a second. Faith longs to hear that word of God. Faith longs to receive Christ yet again, for it knows it is helpless on its own. And so faith longs to hear the absolution in the beginning of service, where God declares us holy and innocent and righteous. Faith longs to receive the Holy Communion, where God himself places his body and unites it to ours. Indeed, we are the temples of the Holy Spirit, the temples of Father and Son, for he has placed himself inside of us. We cannot deny it. God dwells in us, whether we feel like it or not. It is fact. It is reality. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to come to us today. He doesn't have to dwell in our hearts, but because of his grace, great mercy and love, he does. He comes to us yet again. And so treasure this word. Guard it, protect it, chew on it again and again, not just today, but every day. Treasure the holy sacraments. Ponder the great mysteries of the faith that you get to see with your eyes and touch with your tongue. It's your salvation. Do not miss any opportunity. Do not take it for granted. It's not like school, where if you miss one, you can simply go back and make it up. You can't make it up. The opportunity is over. And so your God comes to you again and again, knowing full well how much you do need him. So you too, like the Blessed Virgin, are also blessed. You are blessed by God, for he has made his dwelling among you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.